So it's time to take a little trip to an island called Sapelo. It's about a 15-minute ferry ride off the coast of the state of Georgia. Now, 200 years ago, this island was a plantation community and home to hundreds of West African slaves and their white owners. After the Civil War, when the rice and cotton plantations were burned down, the owners fled to the mainland and freed slaves stayed behind. To this day, their descendants preserve a unique culture known as Geechee. On this island, 10 miles long and only 4 miles wide, you can still catch a glimpse of a 19th century way of life. Dirt roads, only one general store, no schools, no banks. It's a tightly knit community of a few dozen African Americans who speak a dialect that's only spoken by a handful of people in the world. But this unique way of life these islanders are clinging to may be starting to disappear now, threatened, they say, by outside developers and investors who want to snatch up beachfront property and bring unwelcome change to an historically homogenous community. Cornelia Bailey is a lifelong resident of Hog Hammock, the one inhabited area of Sapelo Island. And over the years, she's become the resident historian and a vocal advocate for the cultural preservation of the island. Cornelia, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
Good morning. So there are a lot of people who this will be news to them. They might be unfamiliar with the islands off the coast of Georgia and South Carolina, and specifically with the Geechee culture. Can you explain for those of us who might not know about the history, what is Geechee culture? What are some of its main facets?
Well, the Geechee culture consists of people, their dialect, or sometimes people refer to as language, their way of life, the way how to do things, the way how to express themselves, and it always centered around land. Your culture is no good if you don't have land. So we are holding on to the land so we can hold on to the culture and the history at the same time.
Now, at one point, there were hundreds of Geechee families living on this island, Sapelo. Now there are just around 60 people total.
Oh, yes, there were 5 communities on Sapelo and hundreds of people, and there were 2 schools, churches.
What happened?
Midwives, everything. Well, in modern age now, we don't need midwives, but when I grew up, there were midwives, and the people started leaving the island during the Great Depression, and when the former owner of the island, Howard Coffin, who owned a large chunk of the island, when he lost his fortune and jobs were scarce, people started leaving, going to Miami, New York, Boston, Savannah, Brunswick, Georgia, and other places to look for jobs to support themselves and their families. And but there was always some of us that was left. And in 1974, for instance, there was about 150 people here. Hmm. And now this is 2008, and we're down to 60 folks. So
now we should say that most of the island, about 99% of it, is all protected land.
Yes.
The state of Georgia, owns it.
Yes.
And prohibits development. But there is land in your specific community, Hog Hammock, that's up for grabs.
Yes, it's Hog Hammock, and people are being offered large amount of money for it, and some people are selling because they don't think nothing of it. They're just selling their culture, history, birthright, and so they're selling.
And again, they might be, I don't know what the economics are, but it might be more money than they've ever seen in their lives.
Well, no? That's a problem, too. But
yeah.
Then the people that are selling, it's ironic. They have a job. They live elsewhere. You see, the land is bequeathed down. It's called, we use the term, it's handed down from one generation to the next. And we have generations that's living in Miami, Savannah, Brunswick, New York, and other places.
So they own these plots of land, but
they do not live on it.
Okay.
Got it.
And so that makes it fair game for someone to offer them, because they're living in other places and trying to make a living and sending kids to school and college and so forth. And so this, to them, it's like, okay, if I get rid of the land, then I can, you know, make a better life for myself where I am. And so, and that's what's happening to the land. And it's hurting everybody else. And when they're selling the land, they don't offer it to their kinfolks. They don't offer it back to the community. So they look for someone else to sell it to who they figure will have the biggest buck.
So, Cornelia,
are we losing?
This is often the same story that's told in many different communities mm-hmm. across the United States, in rural towns and communities where they don't have the job market to keep young people there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this doesn't make your situation any less tragic when a small town kind of becomes something different. But what are you possibly hoping to do to change that momentum?
That is the question that we ask ourselves all the time, is what can we offer to people so they wouldn't be tempted to sell their land? And right now, honestly, we don't have too much to offer except hold on to your land, pay taxes while we work to see if we can get things better on the island. We are working to establish a visitor's retreat on the island. We are working to do a village. They're acquiring 25 acres from the state of Georgia that is connected to the community to make a educational center.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take a while to do that. But in the meantime, we need people to just kind of hold fast and have a little trust and faith that it can be done, and that's what we're working hard to do, among some other things that we're working on. Tourists are beginning to come here.
But
it does not fix the problem.
And I've read some of the reporting on this has indicated that you're not so happy with the tourists either, that those aren't people who are necessarily going to embrace or help preserve
no,
or cultivate.
No, they're not. I mean, tourists come, but they don't spend no more than the average of $10-$20. And that does not constitute any kind of revenue for people to live on. So you're not really getting anything from that. People come to Sapelo on a three-hour tour. The state has what they call public tours on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and they're only here for 3 hours. And so that doesn't make too much of a revenue.
And finally, I need to ask you, there's been an open conversation going on about race and when it comes to this issue and the island. It is an African-American community. You have been criticized for perhaps making statements that people would have interpreted as racist.
Of course.
What is your response to that?
If I'm racist for saving my culture and my history and my land, then so be it, then I'm racist. I don't apologize for that, not at all. I just want to hold on to what's ours and what my both parents worked so hard to get and to be able to pass down to their children, and I want to pass it down to my children, my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and even to the ones that haven't even been thought of yet.
But some of the developers coming in, it's not just primarily white developers. There are people of African-American descent who are also trying to buy up this land, I imagine, as well.
No, not really, because African-Americans don't really know about it. Do come, because we still use the old adage of thinking that the white person has more money, so we offer it to the white person before we offer it to our own people. And so that means the majority of the people that's coming in buying this land are white, not black.
Mm-hmm. Cornelia.
And to me, I'd rather have it the other way around so it can be sustainable by having black folks with the same type of culture and history to purchase it.
Cornelia Bailey, she's a resident and Geechee historian of the island of Sapelo off the coast of the state of Georgia. Cornelia, thanks for being with us, sharing some of your story. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.